October 14th, 1987. Faith by George Michael just hit the airwaves. Baseball fans are getting ready for the 84th World Series, and the U.S. Navy is defending its flagships in Bahrain using 6 military-trained dolphins, courtesy of the Marine Mammal Program. Basically, a typical 80s Wednesday. Now, in a quiet neighborhood in Midland, Texas, 17-year-old Sissy McClure is watching the kids for her sister, who runs a daycare out of her home. In the house, she hears the phone ring and goes to answer it, leaving the kids outside to keep playing. What happens in those fleeting moments would end up driving Midland and the rest of the country into a quiet frenzy of uncertainty and fear. 58 hours of a nation holding its breath, and when all is said and done, more than one life will be changed forever. This is Primetime Crime Time with Charlotte, Alex, and Connor! Jesus, fuck!
I've been yelling at you forever!
I just peed a little just then.
Ugh, you're such a baby.
You mean because I have basic survival instincts?
Well, I'm sorry, you were like in the zone, so I didn't know what else to do. What are you working on? Is that...
Yeah, yes, the next episode. Well, hopefully the next episode.
Okay, hit me. I'm ready. Let me hear it.
Well, so, okay, it's all about that baby, Jessica McClure. You know what I'm talking about?
Maybe?
Okay, so this girl in Texas...
Jessica?
Yeah, she's...
Who is a baby?
She is. She's a baby. In the 80s, she got stuck in this well, and there was this big media circus and everything, and, I mean, it sounds kind of dumb at first, but it's got a surprising amount of depth, which... That's...
What?
Like depth, like deep, like in a well, like she's...
Okay, psycho. What did Charlotte say?
She doesn't know yet.
I will say, this is a bit of a...
I know, it's not really, like...
It's a bit of a departure from the formula.
Well, I need a break, because she's sat around looking at dead bodies and shit for, like, 5 years. I mean, she's desensitized, but I need a break from this stuff. She can give me one episode.
Don't put it all on her. The whole podcast thing was your idea in the first place.
I mean, yeah, but still...
You have to tell her, though.
I'm going to.
When?
I don't know. Soon.
I'm just saying.
Well, don't rush me with your Jedi mind tricks, woman.
Oh. I am no Jedi.
I'm throwing force pushes.
Hello?
Hey, girl.
What is happening?
It's lightsabers.
Star Wars. We were doing Star Wars stuff. We were just talking about you.
Really?
Oh, first though, Char, my mom wants to know if y'all can do Saturday instead for dinner.
Yeah, that should work. Why? Just cause?
Yeah, I guess it's been kind of a garbage week and they need Friday to unwind.
No, I bet they're gonna unwind.
Speaking of disgusting.
Okay, virgin.
Burn! Good one, Char! Classic Char!
Okay,
come on.
What is this? What do you want?
That obvious, huh?
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, look, I was gonna tell you, but then I didn't know how to tell
okay,
you.
Okay, so come on then.
Sure, yes. Basically... And that's kind of the gist.
Sure.
Sure. Sure? You sound less than convinced.
Well, it seems...
It seems...
Like, not our thing.
Well, but it's a baby stuck in a well. I mean, she could die. Like, die as in dead. How is that not what we do?
Yeah, we can get that from a million other cases. More relevant cases.
Okay, but this one is different. I mean... For once, we can focus on the positive, like trying to stay strong, even though it seems like everything around you is going to shit, and actually things kind of do fall apart in the end, but that's important too, because, I mean, really this is about hope, right? which is not always something that you get with the stuff that we do. And I think if we can steer that way, then we could at least stand out somehow.
Did you practice that in the mirror?
What is wrong with anything I just said?
Okay, I didn't say you were wrong.
People like nice things too, you know?
People like all sorts of stuff.
And didn't we just talk
about
how—
Yeah, I know what we talked about. I was present for the conversation, thank you.
Yeah, yes, sorry.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm just not gonna hang on to something that's dying.
Well, okay, but it's— We just need the right stuff for the next one.
Okay, we said that last time, though. And the time before that. At this point, is one good episode gonna make a difference? Because it won't.
You don't know that?
Connie, we're basically the only podcast that hasn't jumped in streams since everything went to hell. People have more time than God, and they still don't give a shit what we have to say, which is stupid because we actually have cool shit to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We just need to get lucky
with
a few.
Okay, or maybe we just need to grow up. We're talking about a lot of work and stress and uncertainty over something that frankly wasn't even my idea in the first place.
Oh, so what? You just want to quit?
It just doesn't make sense. It is not a crime. It's not a murder mystery. It's not a murder or a mystery.
I mean, she's 18 months old. She's stuck underground, Charlotte. Just because she wasn't pushed in the damn well doesn't mean that it's not some crazy thing.
I agree
with
Connor.
You do?
You do.
Maybe people want to feel empowered. If it's less about tragedy and more how people respond to tragedy, if we focus on a case where it's more about how we can try saving someone instead of how somebody gets screwed by the world, that can still be powerful. And we'll go right back to the intense criminal shit, but I think she's right. A break honestly sounds good right now, just to switch it up.
You'll have stuff to talk about, I promise.
Yeah, all right.
All right?
All right. He's had worse ideas.
I was also thinking that, not gonna lie.
What does that mean?
I'm talking about bologna cake.
What?
Okay, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Let's get to work, huh?
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everybody. It's primetime crime time, back again with myself, Connor, and Charlotte.
Hello.
And as always, running sound is the lovely Alex. Say howdy to the listeners, Alex.
Howdy.
Howdy back at you, partner. She mixes, she edits, she keeps us in check. Basically, we'd be lost without her.
So true.
No big announcements or anything this week, so anybody got anything they want to share?
I had a turkey sandwich for lunch. That was pretty good.
Riveting.
I'm teaching a new class at the studio. It's a good group of folks, so yeah, I'm good.
Cool. Well, then let's get right into the case this week, the rescue of Jessica McClure.
Not exactly the MO for us here on the show, but we thought, you know, why not shake things up this week? I still think you guys are going to get your fix. There's not a shortage of drama in this one.
So, it's the 80s. We are in the 80s. We're in Texas. It's a Wednesday morning. Walk us through what's happening here.
Yeah, so Sissy, we left her on the phone in her sister's house, and suddenly she hears the kids outside, and they're screaming. They're shrieking, and she runs outside, and she finds all the kids freaking out, except for her daughter, 18-month-old Jessica, who has fallen straight down this old well in the backyard.
She can't even be, like, 2 feet tall. How'd she fall in a well?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's not like this huge well, like a wishing well, like in Snow White or something. I mean, the opening is basically, like, level with the ground, and it's only 8 inches across. Like, the entire thing is only 8 inches.
And it's just in the backyard like that?
Actually, her mom said something about how she'd put this big rock over the hole because she actually was scared someone might fall in.
Which really begs the question, what happened to the rock? Maybe some of the kids were playing, or maybe...
Well, maybe, but I don't think it's really that suspicious. I just think for whatever reason, it just wasn't there where it had been before. I don't know.
I'm just saying it's a little weird.
Well, you're a little weird. Anyway. So, Jessica... in the well, yes. Sissy runs inside. She calls 911. They get there almost immediately, like 3 minutes, and they're on the scene. But unfortunately, it's pretty clear right when they get there that they just can't reach in and get her out of there.
Damn.
Yeah. It's, I mean, they get these rescue crews to come out, like the fire department, EMTs and stuff, and workers in the area give them all this drilling equipment to use, like... They can't really send anyone down there because, again, it's essentially this tiny little metal tube that's only 8 inches wide. So the plan is to drill into the ground beside the well and then go down below past where Jessica is stuck and then get her out from underneath.
And this is a big oil town, right? So it makes sense that they'd have all the tools for this.
Right.
Apparently, there was this big, big oil boom in Midland in the 70s. The rest of the country was in, like, kind of deep shit, but Texas worked its way through on its own. But then, bubble burst.
As they do.
Exactly. And the town was basically gutted. I mean, that was probably one of the largest, if not the largest, businesses in town at the time, and all these people who had hit it big a few years before, suddenly it's gone. It's done. So they've kind of been through the ringer, and I don't know if you can say that any town is really set to have a tragedy like this happen, but with Midland at this point, it's like, oh my God, what did we do to deserve this?
Yeah, it's just like in Cars.
Like what?
Like in Cars.
The movie Cars?
You know, Cars. Cars, the greatest Pixar movie ever made.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you're fucking wrong.
What did you say?
Well, it has the perfect mix of a redemption story with the subtle storytelling.
He's serious. It's so dumb.
Listen, I will say WALL-E is a close second.
You think WALL-E is worse than Cars?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
I'm going
to
shove you in a well.
Okay, so that was yikes. Little... That was not... We need to move back from the... There's a girl in danger here, okay? Can we be serious for 5 seconds?
What were we talking about again?
Drilling.
Right. So they start drilling and they're digging down there. And at first it's like, okay, this is just gonna take a few hours. But they get down a few feet and the drill catches. Cause they've hit rock, like hard rock. Something called caliche.
Yeah, Midland is safely what you would call an arid climate. And when it rains in a place like that, water will seep into the ground and take with it certain minerals like calcium carbonate from the upper layer of the soil and then bring it down because gravity. Mm-hmm. Bring it down anywhere from, say, a foot, 2 feet down, all the way to 10 feet below the surface. Mm. And it concentrates and builds up over long, long periods of time, and it can be several feet thick. Yeah. Think of it like naturally formed concrete. Mm-hmm. It's harder than granite, and the rescue team has to drill through layers of the stuff near the surface, mm-hmm. or else they won't be able to get deep enough to get to Jessica.
Okay, tomato.
All right, hitting pause. What's
that? That almost put me to sleep. Do we need all that science stuff in there?
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's boring.
Don't you think people want to know why these industrial drills can't save a little girl trapped 30 feet underground?
Can't we just say, like, the rock was hard?
I think it's interesting. Plus, we've been pretty light on the science for this one so far. It's informative. It stays in.
All right, fine.
Cool. Anything else? Mm-mm. All right, we're back in 5.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm this Connor, is about rainwater. And I don't like
saying the ground is really hard. And the rock... While this is all happening, there's another set of people whose job it is to keep tabs on Jessica. They're actually pumping heat and oxygen into the well, trying to keep her alive, and everybody else is trying to work to get her out of there.
And the worst part is, nobody can tell how badly she's hurt, what's hurt, if she has internal injuries or anything like that. They're pretty much in the dark here. All they can really do is call down to her, make sure she's awake, and tell her she's safe, that everything's gonna be okay. Actually, they lowered this microphone down into the well so they could hear her and make sure everything was okay. She's crying, saying mama, making all kinds of noise because she's nervous and angry and scared, and the crew would call down and ask her these questions. At one point, she actually stopped responding to them, and they asked her, how does a kitten go? And they waited until they heard this faint little meow.
Jessica's dad, Chip, has made it back to the house by now, and he and Sissy are understandably just freaking the fuck out.
Wow, Chip and Sissy, are those their real names? They're not, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure his name is Lewis.
Okay, then how do we get to Chip?
Oh, I got it. Her name is Reba.
Reba and Lewis.
Where the hell are these nicknames coming from?
Well, we are in Texas.
Okay, but they're not very straightforward.
Oh, you mean like Connie?
Ugh, no, I was thinking more like Lottie.
Okay, that's basically the same thing.
It's not, it's way dumber.
Actually, you're both right. They're both very hilarious and very dumb.
You are correct. I am right. Okay, but also remember about the parents. We're talking about teenagers here. He's 18 and she's 17. If the pressure and attention wasn't already enough, like, they're not even adults yet.
Yeah, and the media attention here was astounding. Because really, nothing like this had ever happened before. I mean, except for the Challenger, I guess, but that was kind of different, and it's not really the same scope, I guess, but... I mean, I promise, we will have a space tragedies episode eventually one
day. Are we having a space tragedies episode?
A boy can dream.
Anyway, there are these pictures, and I wish you guys could see them. Reporters were swarming this place, like they were in the backyard, they were neighbors' backyards, they were neighbors' living rooms. They brought these ladders to see over fences and stuff so they could see what the fuck was going on and get cameras mounted and stuff.
Well, because what we think of as, like, the 24-hour news cycle was basically brand new at this point. And CNN specifically was pretty much one of a kind. So once they got there, the entire country was suddenly just glued to their TV, which people were used to with like sports or the Olympics or like presidential debates or whatever, but not like the news. Like people were eating this stuff up.
We are live in Midland, Texas. This is a unique situation. Tiny little girl stuck 20 feet underground.
Well, it was 10:30 on a Wednesday morning, and the details are still a little bit sketchy.
What on earth is this? Well, not safe to those children. Her dog.
Baby, did you see this on the news?
I sure hope they get her out soon.
I pray for her.
Jessica McClure has become the most famous 18-month-old child in the world.
I've heard the stories, people watching so enthralled. Some with wonder, some appalled.
How could she fall?
Just a little girl, how could she fall? Could their child too have this close call? I have learned about the world. There's many lovely things. People can intensely care, and love can make us king. But playing games with fire gone untried.
In the past few hours, Jessica McClure has become the most famous 18-month-old child in the world.
Could turn out a Jekyll or a Hyde. The first endless news cycle.
Is God on her side?
Will she make it out alive?
My wife tries to intervene. I won't let them turn off the screen.
Visions of a suffocating, screaming, wailing little girl.
Trails that shrill.
Reporters grow.
My psyche starts to twist and curl.
Constant voices, constant thunder.
Constant thoughts I'm drowning under.
Broadcast far from land to sea.
Speakers of society.
Passing judgments, telling stories. What a story we have today.
Nowadays, they'd probably just be live streaming it.
God, and then like the amount of baby Jessica TikToks. I honestly, some part of me deep down wishes that I could see baby Jessica TikTok.
Actually, me too, kind of.
So by now, they've started digging the horizontal rescue tunnel, but the whole impenetrable ground thing is an even bigger problem here. It took them 6 hours to dig the main shaft next to the well, which is a bit longer than a few minutes, people. The drilling rigs and jackhammers they were using before are these big, cumbersome tools, right? And they're meant to drill down. Now they gotta drill straight ahead. And even with things like diamond-tip drill heads, this was no easy task. Eventually, they just used a pressurized water drill to inch their way towards Jessica.
Literally, sometimes it was an inch an hour.
And the hours just pass and pass. EMTs, mining supervisors, and engineers, you know, everybody is working to make sure this little girl is gonna make it out of the well. But the longer she's down there, the more exhausted the whole situation gets. What if the rescuers accidentally do something that fucks with her in the well? They don't know. They don't know what's happening down there.
Yeah, because, like, what if she gets unstuck and she falls further down? Because they'd have to completely change their plan.
Yeah, and on top of everything, they gave Jessica 36 hours in the well, tops, to survive. And it's already been 2 days. What if she just got tired of fighting?
Damn, yeah.
I mean, she's a toddler. Can you blame her? This stuff is crazy. So many things could have gone really wrong, but after 2 days of drilling, finally, they have a main shaft and a rescue tunnel. Question is, who's gonna get her out?
Enter Robert O'Donnell.
Now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm trying to get some more background stuff for the rescue segment. What kind of drills did they use for this?
Oh, I feel like I just saw that. Hold on.
Nice.
I miss the movies.
Which ones?
Like, going to the movies.
Oh, sure.
Like, I don't eat Junior Mints anymore, and I feel like I can only eat Junior Mints if I'm in a movie theater. Is that just me?
I think it might be, yeah. Just you.
Well. And I never thought I'd missed overpriced hot dogs, but, you know, here we are. I can't find anything on the drills, actually, but I know they used water jet cutting in the end.
Cool, thanks.
Yep. You betcha you got it. Got it good. Yeah, yep.
You know, there's this woman at my studio. She has a daughter who reminds me of you a lot.
Because she's amazing and talented? Or because she likes Junior Mints?
Because she says the weirdest shit. Just like you.
Fair enough. Okay, how's that been, though, with, you know, everything going on?
I mean, it's pretty much how you'd expect. We're open again, yeah, but people don't want to get sick. Definitely not as many people as there used to be.
Right.
Which I totally get. I get it. A lot of families depend on us. A lot of women. Zoom self-defense isn't exactly the same thing, but it's better than nothing. At least I hope so. I don't know, I'm just restless.
At least you can keep in touch, right?
Sure. You know, you're always welcome up there.
Oh, I know.
Our class this week is the intro cycle. It's really just gonna be new people. Low craziness, low pressure. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
All right, you're right. I'm sorry.
Look, it's not that I don't want to. I've just, you know, got some stuff going on. Like, there's this opportunity at work.
Opportunity?
Yes, opportunity.
Like a P word?
Okay, I don't want to jinx it.
No, girl, speak on it. Speak it into existence. Well?
Seriously?
Char.
Fine. I'm going to... I want...
I am.
Okay. I am working as an on-site investigator where I am in a leadership position where...
What up, you turkeys?
Hey, what's up?
Where are we at with the ending research? Because I want to get recording ASAP.
Well, we are the ones working right now. Where are you?
I am nowhere.
Where's nowhere this time?
Well, stop me if you've heard this one before, okay? Bacon-wrapped fried Twinkies.
Oh, for the love of...
The New York Times Magazine actually did a piece on Robert O'Donnell about the rescue. Really, he's just your average guy, you know, firefighter, two little boys, married his high school sweetheart. I mean, he's as unsuspecting as anyone else in this tiny Texas town. Now, he just finished a shift fighting fires, and you know, he's a first responder. He's aware of what's been going on. He's like, maybe I can help somehow. And he's making his way over there. He has no idea what's going to happen. Now, back on the scene, though, the crew's still trying to figure out how to get Jessica out of the well. Right, that's where we...
Yeah, so they've drilled their way over to her, but now somebody has to actually go through and get her out. The rescue tunnel is like... So the shaft goes down, and then the tunnel goes across, perpendicular, over to where she is. And it's only like 5 feet long, but it's basically this big L.
This whole situation is a big L.
Oh, jeez.
There's a baby in a well. We're talking about teen pregnancy.
Hey, you're not... I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, you know, you're the one saying... to be sensitive.
Okay, well, yeah.
Anyway, okay, so the rescue tunnel is like super narrow and they had some people volunteering to go down, but obviously they needed somebody with a little bit of training. Can't just let anyone go down there.
Yeah, because it's like, love the energy, dude, but we've gotten to the point where the real actual rescuing needs to start happening.
So, okay, switching gears, I'm gonna get gross for a second.
Oh, please do.
Let's paint a picture here. So, she's 22 feet underground, scrapes and bruises everywhere. Mm. She's been smashed between two pieces of metal, and one of her legs is above her head. Ugh. Basically, she's doing the most painful split you can imagine the entire time she's been down there.
Okay, yeah.
Now, gangrene is probably setting in. She slept maybe a couple hours total this whole time. She hasn't eaten in days, no water. The ground is shaking from all the vibrations and everything. Mm-hmm. And the drills are getting closer and louder. Honestly, one of the most terrifying things I could think of and all that. She's not even 2 years old.
Yeah, so then how does Robert fit into all this?
Well, that's the thing. Our buddy Robert is 6'1 and 145 pounds. Quite the slender fellow.
Oh, so literally he fits pretty well.
Yeah, so out of everyone on the scene that day, he's chosen to finish the job. With this huge array of cameras and reporters and workers and onlookers all watching him, he gets lowered down into the shaft, determined to save Jessica's life.
Robert's down there with his friend, Steve.
Steve Forbes, also a firefighter.
Who's there to just help him with whatever he needs as he's doing this. And to help with immediate first aid. But that's only if
we can get Jessica out of the well.
He starts squeezing through the hole head first, arms outstretched in on his back. He slides his way through the cramped and humid tunnel, twisting and turning and twisting until
he reaches her.
There she is. He tells her that it's gonna be okay. She doesn't have to be afraid. And can she try to move her leg?
And she does.
Which is good. That means she probably doesn't have a major spinal injury.
Right, so he's pulling on her leg, carefully trying to maneuver her body out without hurting her. But time passes, and it's clear that the space they have is just too narrow. It's not enough. He needs the crew to come back down and widen the hole.
While they're doing that, other specialists on the scene are with Robert, and they actually consider taking him out of the job. He's shaking and distraught.
What they don't know is that Robert is claustrophobic. What they don't know is that Robert is terrified. But he knows that he's been called on his life mission. So he turns back from the hole that swallows wide and turns back inside.
So Robert goes back into the shaft.
We keep saying shaft.
Oh, all right. This is serious.
Okay, sorry.
So they go back in.
This time with a little bit of help. Some good old-fashioned KY lubricating jelly. Which may sound weird, but actually it was intended to help with surgeries and other potential discomforts. Hey, do what you gotta do. I don't know. It makes perfect sense to me.
Robert's second trip lasts more than an hour. Between shifts and tugs, Jessica is becoming more anxious.
She cries out saying, no, no, over and over, no, no.
But he's nearly there. He tells her that it's gonna be okay. She doesn't have to be afraid. And can she try to move her leg?
And then she's free.
Robert has done it.
Robert gently carries her back to the main borehole where Steve helps him apply immediate first aid. They wrap her most severe injuries in bandages, and then to keep her from sliding off the backboard, they use the rest of the bandages to wrap her to it, almost like a little baby mummy.
Robert decides to stay behind and collect himself, leaving Steve to rise to the surface. Cause
finally, after 58 hours,
little baby Jessica is saved.
All right. So she's out. She's out of the well. They take her out of the hole. She gets handed off like a big greasy football, and she's rushed to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
What?
A big greasy football?
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
I mean, it's fine. She's fine.
She was stuck in a well for almost 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and she does end up having several surgeries as time goes on, but after a lot of recovery.
15.
What?
It was 15. It was 15 surgeries.
Right, thank you.
I'm just saying 15 is the official number, and you're like the numbers person. You just think that I was the one with the criminology degree.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
Okay, Jessica Fletcher, she had to have a toe amputated, right?
Of course she did.
Which one?
Which
toe?
Now well, you've done it.
Well, I'm going to say it was her big toe.
Ooh, no, it was her pinky toe, you imbecile.
Ah, that was my second guess,
you
I swear.
You are such a failure of a host.
Oh, what, a failure? I'm a failure now. Okay.
Anyway, so she's been rescued and everyone is overjoyed. The whole time she was down there and even after when she was rescued, people are sending her family gifts and letters and donations. Saying she was everyone's baby was not an exaggeration. The vice president visited her in the hospital, like of the United States. People all over the country just are relieved, honestly. It's like a weight off their shoulders.
Yeah, which it kind of makes you think, you know?
What do you mean?
Just like about things in your own life and...
Oh, no, I don't know. Were you stuck in a well once?
I mean, okay, so you all don't know this audience, but when I was 11, my sister and
tomato,
I...
Oh, tomato.
What?
Okay, we're holding.
What?
Is that what you meant by put more of ourselves in the show?
No. No, look, I wasn't trying to, like, ambush you guys. I don't know, they got her back, right? Jessica was gone, and then now she's back. It just made me realize that's something that I'm kind of uniquely qualified to talk about.
That's fair.
Alex.
But are you sure that isn't a bit much? Like, that's insanely personal.
Yeah, I know, but I'm fine. Like, it's okay. That was a long time ago.
Okay, but maybe this isn't exactly the place to work through that.
Also fair.
But what if me talking about it can help somebody? Because then I owe it to them to try,
but
right?
You don't owe anyone. Not that.
I just want to be able to think positive about this for once.
Well, not everything can be positive. Bad things happen.
I think what we're trying to say is we just don't want you to get in over your head.
And I won't, all right? I won't. I promise, okay?
All right.
Char?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, fine. So then where are we going to go from?
Just go straight into whatever you're going to say. And then keep going like we were. I'll figure something out.
All right.
In 3, 2, 1.
It kind of goes into why this whole thing was on our radar in the first place. When I was a kid, me and my little sister, Zoe, we'd always walk to school. Because we lived right down the block, we'd hang out with our friends, and then after we'd go home. But one day, I went home, and she did not. And we couldn't find her. Like, we couldn't find her for 4 days. And there were Amber Alerts, and there were search parties and everything, and it was really scary. And it turned out that it was our mother who had taken her. She and our dad had split up right after she was born, and we hadn't seen her for years, so it didn't even occur to us to think that she might have done anything. But the next day, she was back home, safe and sound. She wasn't hurt. But that whole thing has got to just be, like, the most devastating, like the hardest thing that's ever happened to me. And it was hard for people to understand, like even after we found her, what the fear did to me and my dad, like we were afraid we'd never see her again. I couldn't really talk to anybody about it. So I've kind of found solace in shows like Dateline, that kind of thing. And just seeing and knowing other people have gone through the same thing. Like, it sounds weird, but in a way, it just made it easier for me to deal with that. And the worst part about that is a lot of people's loved ones, they don't just come back after a few days, and they don't get to know why. They don't get any closure.
I think there's always that fascination with the creepy, dark shit in the world, right?
Yeah, right.
When it comes to true crime, murder, kidnapping, that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
But in a weird way, talking about tragedy like that, I think it sort of makes you feel less isolated, because it's like, okay, there's other people out there who think about this too, and maybe it's scary, but at least we can sit here and listen and talk about this stuff with other people who are also interested. Know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's really interesting. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Connor. I know the listeners are feeling the same way when we say we all appreciate your courage and we love you.
Thank you. Seriously, it does mean a lot. It's not something I talk about all the time, so yeah. Anyway.
So, it's over. Jessica's fine. She has a few scars and she's without a toe, but...
Sure, basically things are back to normal.
Yeah, I wish. First, we have the TV movie, and not even 2 years later. I mean, I guess capitalize on it, get the attention, but damn. At least Robert was given a role in the movie as a reporter on the scene, but yeah, that's pretty neat.
And the family, they went on different talk shows and news channels and everything, kind of giving their 2 cents and sharing their experience, showing off Jessica. At this point, she really was everybody's baby.
And so many people sent in donations. It was all put into a trust for her. Almost 800,000, which would be like 1.3 million today.
And the rescuers, they all shared the limelight for a little bit. Like Steve Forbes and the detective that we mentioned, they made all these appearances on talk shows and stuff like that. But the real kind of the poster boy for the incident was Robert. I mean, he took every opportunity that they threw at him. He went around speaking about the ordeal. He just went all over the country. He was flown out by publicists and organizations. He wanted to break into entertainment, like maybe get a book published or something, but things never really went the way that he hoped. And honestly, that didn't happen for anybody. I mean, a few years after moving from the original house and away from everything, the stress was just, it was too much for the McClures. And Chip and Sissy, they divorced in the early 90s.
Which is unfortunate.
Like what?
Just tragedies. Like you were saying how tragedies can bring people together and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess not everything can be positive. Robert and his wife, they split up too. Lots of people close to the case ended up getting counseling to prevent any anxiety from manifesting. I guess more than it already had. But people slowly just started to forget about the one little girl who was stuck in a well for a couple of days.
Which, you know, there isn't anything wrong with that. People just moved on. Well, except Robert. He couldn't quite let the moment go because, you know, the public moves on. Attention shifts away from anything having to do with baby Jessica. Mm. Everyone who was there that day is basically trying to get as far away from the trauma as they could.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, think about even today, big stuff that happens after a while, you're kind of just like, oh yeah, that happened. Especially years later, Robert was hanging on to an identity that didn't really matter anymore.
Well, and I remember after my sister got home, like I was just so angry all the time. Like even my friends, even at my friends, obviously they didn't do anything, but it felt like nobody had my back. But this was all, I mean, that was a very emotional time.
Right.
But it just, really feeling useless is something else.
It wasn't how he wanted to see himself.
Sure. I mean, he wasn't this big hero anymore. He was just Robert O'Donnell. And he started using drugs. He started doing drugs and he went to rehab. Eventually, I mean, he just quit his job. And at first it's like, you're surrounded by all these things that remind you of this great thing that you did and how important you were. And now it's like, how do you get back to that? You know, it's easy to blame that kind of stuff for changing your life in the first place.
Even the Baby Jessica movie he was in, actually, he wasn't even in it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I watched it. And they actually took his scene out of the movie and didn't even tell him. So he basically got his whole family around to watch the premiere. And after he was, like, making jokes about it and stuff.
I didn't know that. That fucking blows.
Yeah, and with all of that, it's like, what can you even do then? Because now there's things to be done to help people in situations like his. But This was almost 30, 40 years ago, and we're way more cognizant of mental health and awareness of mental health. So, like, if somebody doesn't know how to help themselves, how long is it going to take before something bad happens?
Which he knew that, right? Because when the Oklahoma City bombing happened in 1995, so, like, years later, he's watching the news with his mom, and Robert says something like, they're going to need help after this. And he's not talking about, like, he's talking about the rescuers, like, the medics and the firefighters. He knows what they're going to have to deal with after this, and, like, I cannot imagine how his mother felt in that moment, hearing him say stuff like that.
Yeah. That New York Times article that Connor mentioned earlier, it wasn't about the rescue, it wasn't about his recovery, it was, unfortunately, about his death. A week after the Oklahoma City bombing, Robert drove his truck down the road, scrawled out his thoughts on a piece of paper, and took his own life. Jessica needed to be saved, and the entire town stepped up to do that. Robert stepped up big time to do that, but where do you go from there? It's hard to know the answer to something like that.
What happened to that little girl whose story filled the news? Did she get a happy ending? Did she hit all of her cues? Though the money mostly vanished when the market shut her down, it helped her buy a little home in town. What happened to that little girl whose parents couldn't deal? They split when she was 4 years old, so the many wounds to heal. The public wants her every word, she doesn't owe a thing, but still she's grateful for her chance at spring. And now that girl is grown, with children of her own, it's funny how her life goes on, a march to the unknown. So many people saved her, but they can't define her life, or she would live forever with the knife that took some of the others. She goes on through the strife, and daughters turn to mothers. How do you owe your life? A little girl was saved one day, the world kept spinning on. It would have done so anyway, despite if she was gone. But she went on to stretch and soar, she vows not to regret. She still can't quite remember or forget.
Well, Jessica is doing well these days, at least.
Which is good.
Yeah. She still lives in Midland. She has two kids. She met her husband through a daycare that she worked at.
Like mother, like daughter.
And dear God, please let her be better at looking after kids. No offense to you, sissy, but yeah, Jesus Christ.
And that's our time. Thanks for being patient with us, everyone. We know we took a little long for this one, but we're excited to be able to share it with you. And we want to know what you think. Send us your feedback. Maybe we'll give you a shout out at Primetime Crime Time Pod on Twitter, or shoot us an email at our new official business email, primetimecrimetimepod@gmail.com.
This week's mystery giveaway winner is, drumroll please, Storm Rage 1212 from North Bend.
Oh, that's funny.
Right? Congratulations, Storm Rage 1212. Your prize, it's a good one this week, a lock of Charlotte's hair. Yummy. I'm just kidding. That would be creepy. I don't know what the prize is. It's a mystery. That's kind of the whole point. But we will be in touch with you later, so keep an eye out for that, Stormrage 1212. Cool?
Indeed. Wait, what happened to the well? Is the well still there claiming victims or whatever? Somebody's filled it in, right?
Actually, that will be the case for our next episode. The well sucked out enough of Jessica's life force while she was down there that it developed a consciousness and a taste
okay,
for human...
Okay, so the rescue team actually made a cover for it the day they rescued her. It has a message on it. It says, "For Jessica, with love from all of us." And you know, it's still there, even today.
Well, isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Same time next week.
You got it.
This is Charlotte.
With Alex.
And Connor.
Thanks for listening.
All right.
This podcast was brought to you in part by KY Jelly. When things are just a little too snug, we're here to help. Getting you in and out of holes since 1904. KY Jelly.
Hey, thanks for going with me on this one. Like, for the episode, I know it wasn't a murder or a mystery.
Yeah.
That was good.
Right?
And it's funny, we got somebody from the Bend this week.
I know. I talked to Mr. J about it, so he probably just made his class listen to it for extra credit or something.
Sure, but we're spreading. Something cool spreading for a change. Sign me up.
Fair enough.
Sorry to leave you guys cleaning up tonight.
It's all good. You got plans. That is more than either of us.
Today just ended up being the best for class. I tried to talk to them, but...
No, you're fine. Go kick some ass. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, want to talk about what's bothering you?
What do you mean?
I mean, I've literally known you since kindergarten. I'm a little more observant than you think.
I'm fine.
You're okay. You're fine. If you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to talk about it. I feel like... I just don't know how to talk to you when you're like this, and... I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Okay, chill, Connor. I am just processing what we just talked about.
Okay.
That's
and,
all.
And I get that that's a
hey,
lot.
Hey, sorry to check out this way, but life sucks. He wrote that in one of his notes.
You mean Robert?
Yeah, the notes he left for his kids. They don't really talk about that stuff in those Baby Jessica, Where Is She Now? Videos all over everything.
Sure, but that's not really what people want to dwell on.
Well, yeah, he didn't either. He didn't want to dwell so bad he fucking shot himself.
Hey... You're okay.
I know. I'm not sad. I'm not broken up. I'm just mad. Like, how can you not get so caught up in it? In the energy, movies, and promoters, and bullshit being shoved in your face every day. His world was nothing like anybody else's. And can you blame him? The fame probably felt pretty damn good to a nobody like Robert, but everything and everyone else moved on, and he didn't. And why? I don't know. It's just not fair.
Yeah.
Okay, but then... Say he never went down there and none of that ever happened to him. Couldn't it have happened to whoever went down there anyway?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just saying it's not fair and it makes me mad. And that's... Nobody should have to feel that way. And maybe this is just some dumb true crime podcast. But if we can make people feel like they have something, I don't know, I guess that's pretty cool, right?
Wonder what it meant when he became a hero. What to do, what did he say? What do medals even mean to people anyway?
Country boy who had a shot at 15 bits of fame, slender shoulders on the scene. Greatest moment of his life was now the gasoline.
And the phone rang off the hook, they pulled it out of the wall.
And the migraines left him shook,
so sick and dizzy he'd fall. But wasn't it wonderful, beautiful, perfect? He was a hero, a star on the news. Couple of hours and a man is a legend, shining and smiling through millions of views. Little country boy, finally a hero. Found he didn't know the cost of playing hero. 4 years down, his wife is gone.
Pills and power were a pair she couldn't settle on. Thought he'd make his way to fortune on the silver screen. His only movie cut his part. They don't tell you that a hero's life can break your heart.
When a man can't work or rest, a feeling settles inside.
People used to be obsessed, but now their love has cracked. Why?
But it was supposed to be magical, perfect. Mother-in-law made a gift just for him. Our hero scrapbook with ribbons and pictures, creases and tears, both his pain and his him. Couldn't understand, though the girl was just a baby, she has thousands to her name. While the hero left behind two boys for suffering and shame. And was it really worth it? Did he have himself to blame to be a hero? But just think, imagine Robert in another life, shining glory at his pace. Finally left alone, he'd make the world a better place. Might be easier to be a hero on your own, without the cameras and the presence and the microphone. Long way to fall from fluffy clouds onto the cobblestone. No king before a throne. It could have been beautiful to be a hero. It should have been beautiful
to be a hero.
All alone.
Why wasn't it beautiful?
Do you get a choice when you become a hero? Did it matter what he'd say? What do monsters even mean anyway?